I had a quick little vision on Thursday of an adult coming to a young child. And they said to him, just show me how to do it. And they were referring, they were just watching. The feeling I got was that they had just watched this child moving with God in the supernatural realm. And they just went, just show me how to do it. And that is the principle that we need, but it also is going to be a reality. I'm sure it is a reality in one sense, but it's going to be a reality in the church in a much bigger way. I believe that God is calling this ministry to set a foundation for what He's going to do with the children all the way through the older children, all the way through the teenagers and young adults. And there's not coming a move, it's here. And it's up for us to get into it. This kept on, if there's one thing that has come to me numerous times this week, it's this. You know where it says in Joel that I'm going to pour out my spirit in the last days on my men servants, my maid servants, my sons and daughters. They're going to prophesy. I'm going to show wonders in the heavens and the earth beneath, right? Signs and wonders, prophecy, His Spirit being poured out. And this is what the Lord was impressing on my heart is, we look at that scripture too much or that principle too much like this. The last days come, and so God says, okay, they're here. I'm going to pour out my spirit. But we're looking at it backwards. He's saying, no, when you learn to step into what I'm doing, the last days are here, and then I can finish things up. It isn't God waiting to say, well, you know, well, when the last days come, then I'll do it. No, Peter stood up when the Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and about 3,000 were saved, and the people began, some began to mock, some began to question, we were saying, what is this? They were all amazed, and Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour my spirit on your sons and your daughters, and they're going to prophesy. I'm going to go show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, signs and wonders. This is that. So if you look at it in Joel, when he says that, he says it, and it's talking in the context of before Jesus, right before Jesus comes. And then Peter says it right then. We're in a window of approximately 2,000 years where we can enter in to what is available to us. Jesus said, when you pray, pray your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I hate when, I don't know if hate might be kind of a strong word, but I dislike when I hear commentary on that verse and they say, see, we pray for the kingdom coming. One day Jesus will come and bring the kingdom. That is true, but I'm not going to pray for 2,000 years for Jesus to come back. He's coming. That's right. Amen. He's calling us to pray for His kingdom to be manifested now. Right? And so, He's calling us to step into something and turn that thing in our head. If that's in our head at all, it's coming. No, it's here. When is it coming? When we step into it. I was... Windy in here? I am going to get a new mic. Not you. I was digging through some of these prophecies and dreams and words that I had in my computer. It's a good thing to write those things down. Right? I was just talking to him about it. But you write these things down, you can go back to them. And this one, I literally do not remember this. And it was only from January of 2009. So I would have lost this if if I wouldn't have typed it out or written it down, however you want to say. But I had this vision. And when I say I had a vision, I know it was just a not an open vision, but a in my spirit, because I've never had an open vision. It says, Jesus was standing on the water, calling his church out of the boat to stand on the water in the glory realm. And then in brackets, I have rowing hard against the waves represented what the flesh could do. Standing on the water represented operating in the glory realm. We know the story of the disciples rowing. What were they doing? They were rowing hard because the wind was contrary to them. Anybody ever feel that you got circumstances that are contrary to you? Ever have emotions that are contrary to you? Maybe today, you know, I didn't. I do. You know what I do when I have, you know what you do when you have emotions that are contrary to what you should do? Just do what you should do. You know what you do when you get discouraged? Do it. Do what's right. Shake it off. Praise the Lord. We need to see Him, Jesus, and hear that He has called us to come out onto the water into the glory realm. We this was in the video last night. The thing that Jesus said the most, this is what Mike Bickle said, the one thing that Jesus said the most in his earthly ministry was this: He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He said it continually while he was on earth. He said it to the churches when he spoke to them in Revelations. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He's saying there's too many believers, too many people that hear but don't hear. And the question is, are we hearing what He's called us into today? Just like Just like these testimonies of these miracles, these healings, I should say. What is somebody who's sick? An opportunity right there. Well, what's a problem? Another opportunity, right? When I see sickness, I see healing, right? When I see problems, I see Jesus coming with the solution, right? What do you see? I mean, I'm not saying I'm perfected in my faith, but that's where we got to be, right? I'm not saying the end days are coming and God's going to pour out His Spirit. They're here and it's time for us to step out into the glory realm, right? To step out into His kingdom. If you got to take some baby steps, do it. If you're going to fall down, fall down. Who cares? I don't mean physically fall down. I mean, if you don't see success right away, just step out and pray again. Just do it again. You talk to someone about the Lord, you fumble your words, do it again. Right? Right. I really do love you guys. All right. Thanks, Michael. Then he said this verse. Zechariah 4:7. Who are you, O great mountain before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain and shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace. Grace to it. How are we going to get... We've been talking about the church that Jesus is building. How are we going to see this? How are we going to see this thing come to the fullness of what he's calling? It's not with shouts of, would you just look at reality? No. Would you just look at, you know, how I'm hurting and this situation and that? No, he says, shouts of grace. We've got to know the grace that He's given to us. There isn't anything that we are going to receive from Jesus that He hasn't already given to us, right? It comes to us as we have knowledge of it and we learn to receive it in faith. Every spiritual blessing has been given to us in Christ Jesus. Let that sink in. Because that anything in our thinking where that paradigm is, he's going to pour out his spirit and he's going to give to me. No, no, no. It's there. We're going to learn how to receive it. We're going to learn how to receive better. We're going to learn how to step out into it better. Yeah, I know there are seasons and things for certain things that he calls us to do in our life, but I'm talking about the things that he's given to all of us. Right? He's given an anointing to all of us. An anointing to share his word. An anointing to pray for the sick. An anointing to do whatever the need may be in our family or wherever the situation is. Are you guys all right? You guys look like your dog just died. Then he said this. After he said that verse, Zechariah 4:7, this is in this vision I had of sorts. I don't mean of sorts, but it was. He spoke Zechariah 4:7. Who are you, O great mountain before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. Or the literal is, who are you, O great mountain before Zerubbabel? A plain. You shall become is italicized. So God, this is what God says to him. Who are you, O great mountain before Zerubbabel? You're a plain. Calling those things that be not as though they are. We've got to have revelation knowledge. Here's what it goes on to say. He said, that is how you speak in the glory realm. Oh, now I remember receiving this. It just came to me now. That is how you speak in the glory realm. Who are you, O great mountain? A plain. You acknowledge what's there in the natural, but then you see what is accomplished in the spirit and you call it forth. You're a plain. What are you? Oh, a sickness? You are healed. This situation, this obstacle, moved. Right? And then I put down, the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth and shows us things to come. John 16:13, where Jesus said, I'm going to lead you, the Holy Spirit will lead you in all truth and show you things to come. And here's what he put on me to write. Whenever he shows us either one of these things, truth that's already we know about or something to come, he is just revealing what is already done in the glory realm so we can speak it into the natural realm. When the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of God's word to us, he's showing us what's done in the glory realm. When he shows us something to come, it's to come for us, but it's done in the glory realm. His realm in the kingdom of heaven. Then I saw Jesus standing. This is great. Then I saw Jesus in this vision. I saw Jesus standing on the water with an oar. I didn't understand it at first. Then I looked, and then it looked kind of silly. Him having an oar while walking on the water. I'm looking at Jesus and he's got an oar in his hand. And I'm like, that looks kind of silly. Why would you have an oar when you're standing in the water? And as I'm thinking this, he gave me what he was trying to say. Then I understood that was the point. It looks silly, him holding on to an oar while walking on the water. We don't need what we can do in our own self if we operate in the glory realm. In the world, the waves will get larger and larger, but it don't matter when you operate in the glory realm. You know what I'm talking about? The glory realm. His kingdom. By faith. What is established already. You remember when the disciples were freaking out because he said to them, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And they're like, dude, did you bring bread? It was your responsibility. Now we're going to get over there. We ain't going to have no bread. I'm mad we ain't gonna have no bread and you're gonna be in trouble because it was your responsibility and Jesus is gonna be mad at us. And Jesus is like, wait a second. You remember when we had 5,000 people to feed and how many fishes and loaves do we have? Five, seven. He's like, was there a problem? No. then why are you concerned now? Well, we know you did something back then. He's like, that testimony is supposed to be something we expect now from now on. It is something, if the need is there, you know, if we got it, then fine. But if we don't got it, the glory realm is there. The kingdom is there. It will always supply. If we got it in bags with us, fine, we'll eat it out of there. If we don't, the glory realm is there if we know how to operate in it. Right? Noah's dog died, did they? Geese. But, glory. When you start looking for situations, that's when you know you're starting to get it. You're not just going, okay, if you bring something, God. No, you're like, where the devil at? Where's someone who needs healing? Where's a problem? In this world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You don't get riled up because of the tribulation, because of the trial, because you know you have His peace, not just His emotional peace, but His peace in the midst of it. His kingdom, His glory realm, right in the midst of it. Oh, this is a bigger problem. Great. He's going to get more glory. He's going to have to do more. Great. Not great. Great. The voice of faith. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't really have a message title or anything. We're just going with it tonight. We got to know how to speak in faith, right? Here's another word I had. A lot of you've heard this one. It's been in 04. God's end time army is being formed. Intercessors in soul winners of every kind. Elite men, women, and children to bring in the harvest of the nations. It will be a swift move of the Spirit that men, women, and children will run with in this last hour. Prepare yourself now. There will be no more delay, for the move has begun. Let me just stop right there. There are still people that are waiting, and they still have the mentality, it's going to happen. And Jesus is like saying, no, I'm calling you to step in. Step in. Yeah, we expect more to happen, but it isn't because God is just going to, it isn't because, just because God is sovereignly going to do something in the future. It's because we learn to move with Him. And we learn how to see things in faith. We learn how to say, who are you, O great mountain? You're a plane. We learn to look at the situation, know that it's there, but know what it is in the glory realm. It's done. It's solved. It's fixed. And we know how to bring forth the capstone, the top stone, with shouts of grace to it. If He's calling us to shout grace, He's shouting grace. He shouted grace to us. He's saying, I got grace for you. Come on, receive it. You ain't beggars, right? We're not beggars. Illegitimate, the nice word for it. We're not illegitimate, right? We are sons of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's given us the kingdom. When you pray, say, our Father, you're my Father. I'm adopted. You know what's so special about adoption? If you had a child as I don't know exactly our laws, but it probably similar. But under Roman law, if you had a child, you could give that child up. You could give it up for adoption or do whatever. But once you adopted a child, you by law were responsible for that child. When he adopted us, he said, I can't ever give you up. You are mine, and I am responsible to take care of you. You are my son. You are a child of mine, and I will take care of you. I'm preaching a little bit better than your amen and by the grace of God. Woo! Preach myself ecstatic. Continuing on, he has called the Twin Cities to be one of the epicenters. He's called the Twin Cities to be one of the epicenters of the Lord in this last hour. Not an epicenter of flesh in the ways of man, but of his spirit. And then he impressed Ezekiel 37 on me. You can read that later. He went on to say this, the wind will blow on seeds, even dormant ones, that the Lord wants to revive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In heaven, the living beings cry out and the people respond. They say, hallelujah. And the people say, hallelujah. In other words, they can't hear somebody say hallelujah without responding. Yeah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. The wind will blow on seeds, even dormant ones, that the Lord wants to revive. He said, do not look for revival from the east, the west, or south, but from the Lord. He is the one. It only comes by Him. Anticipate it. Talk about it. Shout for joy because of the great deliverances I shall bring, says the Lord. This is not a time to look to the directions of the earth and say, shall it come from here or there? But know that it shall come by my hand, says the Lord, and by my hand only. Seek it with all your heart, for this is the hour. I am coming soon, and I will not delay my coming. Be ready, let your waist be girded, and your lamps burning for this hour. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! Time to shake things up a little bit in ourselves, huh? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you have ears to hear tonight, then hear what's being said. Some people don't have ears to hear. They've turned themselves off. Long time ago. I've been reading through Genesis and Leviticus, and I'm in the book of Numbers now. And been thinking about, you know, God had called the people out of Egypt and wholeheartedly wanted to bring them into the land of promise. But before He brought them into the land of promise, He brought them out to the desert to meet with Him. He wasn't going to bring Him to the promises without Him. He said, first and foremost, I'm going to bring you to the desert. Nothing else going on but me. I want you to know me. And then you'll know me. And then I'm going to take you into some of my goodness. It's the same way with us. He's brought us out of Egypt in the sense of He's saved us. We're not under the devil's rule legally anymore, or we don't have to be, right? But when He brings us out, He brings us to the desert. He doesn't bring us to the promises first. I mean to the promises of the fullness of what He has for us to walk in our life. What's the word? What He wants is to introduce us to Him. Right? It was kind of an awesome day when God came down upon a mountain. When God came down, Moses saw him a little bit earlier. I don't know exactly how many days it was. It would have been over 50. So, I don't know, something over 50. Moses saw him as in a bush. God came down, and he was a fire in this bush. In this bush, we know him as Jesus. But God came down, and he just got by this bush, and this bush started burning. And Moses said, I'm going to turn aside now to see this great sight, because there is a bush burning, and it isn't burning up. This is weird. I got to go check this out. And as he begins to walk, what happens? God yells at him and says, stop! This is holy ground. Take off your shoes. Take off your sandals. He said, I've come down now to set my people free. Right? He's like, okay. And God begins to say who he was, and he begins to reveal himself to Moses. And then Moses brought the people out. And God comes down again on Mount Sinai, and the whole mountain, top of the mountain, is on fire. Because God showed up. It's amazing. When God shows up, it's pretty cool. Tell your neighbor, you really haven't seen anything yet. And what happened when God came down? He begins to give him the law of his heart for them. And they said to Moses, you go and listen to God and you come back and tell us what he said, because this is freaking us out. And you would think, oh no, I wouldn't have been scared. If the whole nation was scared, you would have been probably tempted to be scared. I mean, angels come down. An angel comes down. And what do they always say? Fear not. One angel. Fear not. It's just me, Gabriel, just an angel. Relax. Can you imagine the angel? God goes to the angel. I want you to go down and tell so-and-so such and such. No, do I have to? They always freak out when I go down there. where was I? Oh yeah, they're freaked out because God is on the mountain. And they said, Moses, you go listen. And Moses said, do not fear. God has come down that his fear may be in you. It almost doesn't seem to make sense. Don't fear, because God's come down that you might fear. He's saying the right kind of fear. He wants you to be very afraid with the kind of fear that causes you to drive into God. That you would be terrified to move away from God. Not the fear that drives you away from God, but the fear that drives you to God. The awe that draws you to Him. And you see His awesomeness and you say, this is fearful. But now I understand I can't move away from this. How could I? His awesomeness. I don't want to be in His judgment. I want to be in the right way with God. But the people said, you go find out what God has to say. We will listen. We'll do what He says. You go and listen. Well, that's what happens. And the first law out of God's mouth was, you shall have no other God, right? Before me, make no graven image. And what are they down at the mountain? What do they end up doing at the bottom of the mountain? They're building an idol, a calf. And they called it Jehovah. Because Aaron says, today is a feast to Yahweh, Jehovah. I mean, they weren't like disregarding the God who set them out of Egypt, got them out of Egypt. They just didn't know Him yet, and they were making an image based on what they thought. And you know what? That's what people do. That's what we do if we would allow ourselves make a, well, I think God is this, and I think, no, God is this. God isn't what you feel today. God is who He says He is, right? And so, He gives them the law. We know God, they sinned. God gave them mercy. They built the tabernacle. God came down upon that tabernacle. And then He began to do something. He began to feed them with manna, right? And that cloud, the form, came down upon the tabernacle, and it was a fire by night, right? Y'all tracking? And sometimes that cloud would stay there for a year. We find out later on. And sometimes just 2 days. But when the cloud moved, a whole nation had to move. And I'm sure when the cloud came down for 2 days and all of a sudden they're just getting their some stuff unpacked. You see what I'm seeing? God's, well, thank you very much. You could have gave us a little warning. I wouldn't have started to put up pictures if I knew you were going to move in 2 days. Or after 3 months, dear, when are we moving? Moses, you promised us we're going to this great land and we've been here all this time. But God is teaching them, if I'm there for 2 days, if I'm there for a year, you don't move on what you feel. You move by me. Right? And he's feeding them with manna. And he says in Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, that he says, I brought you out of the wilderness to humble you and teach you by feeding you with manna, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, here's what I want you to grasp. There was a generation that came out, and God was working with them to change, right? He was trying to get them to have a renewed mindset. But almost none of them did. We know Joshua did. We know Caleb did. These men would said, God delights in us. There are seven nations stronger and mightier than us. What's your point? God's with us. Well, we didn't know it was going to be so big when we got there and all these walls. And I thought God meant when He's going to give us a great land that it was, you know, going to be these little midgets in here when we got there and we were just going to go boop. And that was that. I mean, He wouldn't have promised if it was going to be hard. No. But He was trying to renew their mindset through what He was doing. What was He doing? He brought them out into the wilderness with nothing else. He fed them with manna. He taught them, you don't move when you feel like moving. You move by me. But although He was doing that, we know Joshua and Caleb, they were slaves in Egypt just like them. But when they got there, they embraced it. And they said, okay, we move by God. We live by, not by bread alone. We live by the Word of God. Therefore, when God says we can go in and take the land, we can go in and take the land. It looks impossible, but God said, we don't. Their soul was transformed, right? When the people went and got into the land, it was like, what was it, 2 years later when they went in the first time, over a year. 10 of the spies came back with a evil report, right? And the two, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a good report. Said, we are well able. If God delights in us, He delights in us. He'll give us the land. And they went, no, you don't understand. It's not like there's a nation in there bigger and stronger than us. There's seven nations in there stronger and mightier than us. Their cities have walls around them. And they discourage the people. Right? Oh, we can't do it. Oh. I'm going somewhere with this. And that's here. Are we going to embrace what God is doing in our life right now to step in to what He has for us to step into? When God said, okay, you know what? You don't believe me? And you spend 40 days spying out the land and you discourage the people? Now you can spend 40 years in the wilderness until you all die off. And they said, oh no! And then some of them went in and tried to take the land. And what happened? Some of them died. Moses said, don't be presumptuous. You can't now. No. What was different about that generation that went in and took the promised land compared to the generation that died in the wilderness? They were raised by God. God brought a people out and tried to renew them, but most of them, yea, almost all of them, resisted what God was trying to do in them. But when God had a generation that started off in the wilderness, they didn't have a slave mentality. All they knew is the cloud moves, God moves, we move. We eat because God spoke. And so when God says we can take the land, we can take the land. They had a different mentality. So here's the thing. We're in a time of transition. And it's not just because God has sovereignly said now is the time, but because God is having people that will transition. There will be people that will resist and die in the wilderness. There will be Joshua's and Caleb's who will change. But here's the other thing. We're coming in, there's a time coming in a few years where in the body of Christ, it isn't going to be this thing where you're going to have to pound people to say, look at what God's got for us. It's going, supernatural is going to be natural. Amen. And that comes back to that little vision I had on Thursday where this adult came to the child and said, just show me how to do it. Just show me how to do it. God is raising up people that are going to know how to raise up this next generation. And that is the call of not just us, but it is a call that He's put on this ministry. To bring this next generation and show them the supernatural and say, this is natural. Go to one more verse here. Psalms 105. Kind of like this no note thing. No notes. That's how I used to preach all the time. Or I'd write a couple scriptures on a post-it note so I'd remember where they were. Are you there? Just go ahead and say, Yahoo. I've been told that there is a Hebrew word that's actually in the Psalms in places, that's best translated, Yahoo. That's the best English word we have for it. Yahoo! That's a really good word. Let's just read from the beginning here some of these. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we'll give thanks. I think, is this what we want? Yeah, so, okay. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. It's good to give testimonies, even outside of church. Amen? Go tell someone at work. Guess what? I went to church and people was talking about how they got healed. You want to hear what happened? Guess what happened to me? You'll never guess. Do you want to hear? I'm saying that's what you can say to them. You'll probably do it a little more dignified than me, but that's good. We need some more dignified people. Verse 2, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders in the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Verse 7, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham in his oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as an allotment of your inheritance when they were few in number. Indeed, very few and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another, people. From one kingdom to another people. He permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. What is God called? I want you to muse. I'm not asking for a response, but I want you to muse on that. What does God have for your life? What does God have for this church? And God has a place for every person in what he has called for us to do corporately. Right? It's been a long process, but he's still doing some things, and we cannot grow weary in the wilderness. Amen? Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season, you'll faint. You'll reap if you don't faint. The conclusion is, if you go by what you feel, you will faint. You will feel like fainting. You will feel like giving up. But you know what you do when you feel like giving up? This is really deep now. You don't give up. Take notes, write that down. When I feel like giving up, what I shall do is not give up. God made it really confusing and really difficult. No, he didn't. When I feel like giving up, I'm going to believe. And I'm not going to give up. Go to Psalm 78. I know I said one, but I want to hit one more point. Verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. What do we need to do? Listen to God. Not just listen, know what he said. We can recite it, but we live by it, right? Verse 2, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, and we will not hide them from their children. What won't we do? We're not going to hide them from the children. We're going to say, here's what God has. It's awesome. And we're not going to hide it from them. We're going to say, it's time for you to step into it. And then you can probably teach me a thing or two. right? Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord in his strength, in his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that we should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they would arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. A couple more verses here. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in the law and forgot his works and his wonderful and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. The next generation needs you. I'm not just talking about for your children. I'm talking about this church and whoever will hear, he's calling. Churches and ministries that will not forbid the children to come to him, in the sense that they lead the children into the glory realm. They lead the children in intercession. They lead the children into what God is doing, into the move of God. And the tables will be turned. As that happens more and more, you'll see an older generation say, just show me how you do it. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of that? Who needs a miracle? Because the miracle worker's here. Come on up. Everyone just stand. Who else needs a miracle? Anybody? Come on up, sweetie. Who else needs a miracle? You can just stand right here. Anybody need a healing? Come on up. When we come together, it don't matter. When we come together, the miracle